Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of VSiN's Long Shots. This is the Waste Management Phoenix Open Edition. Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin coming to you from Vegas. I will soon actually be down in Phoenix for the tournament itself. I know, feeling pretty good about that. I know you guys might be a little jealous there of what I'm getting. Not even that I'm going to the tournament, just that I actually get a good betting menu to go down and get down on this tournament. Our first elevated event here of 2023, in which we are going to have all the stars out. Kelly, you weren't with us for the little quick recap yesterday, so I'll give you your chance to just do a tip of the cap to Wes for taking down two outrights this past weekend.
Yeah, great. But two of them. I would just kill for one of them. That would be nice once in a while, Wes. I'm glad at least you were on Justin Rose, as I was praying that he was going to shank a few into the ocean with Brendan Todd sitting right behind him. But hey, man, I don't think we could ask for a show as a better 2 week start here with both you hitting outright. So I guess I'm up, which means I'll have a series of 4 second place finishes again before I actually hit it outright. But you know, I'm not losing my sanity or anything. But seriously, Wes, hell of a week as usual, man. You killing it both on this side of the Atlantic and the other side.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Got Abraham Answer home over in the Saudi International. Him and Cameron Young go 1-2. So, you know, was a little bit nervous about Rose in terms of Todd. Actually, we had all the hot putters pursuing him. You had Brendan Todd. You had Denny McCarthy, who, you know, was all of a sudden decided he wanted to hit good approach shots. I'm like, he never does that when I bet him, you know, because yeah, totally. He'll put off the charts, but they're for par and not for birdie. But Keith Mitchell also was in the mix. Justin Rose had the 2-shot overnight lead. And then Brendan Todd made that birdie right away because he had a 7-footer he was sitting on overnight, made it right away. And it was like, here we go. But Rose was able to close it out, 35th in the world now. Probably has locked himself into the European Ryder Cup team and also in all the rest of the majors.
Yeah, that's awesome. We have had a good start here to Long Shots, and hopefully we can keep it rolling here as we head to Phoenix. Of course, as always, guys, the awesome preview and write-up that Wes does is available over on VSiN.com, where he will break down TPC Scottsdale for you, a par 71 of 7,261 yards. Wes, give us a quick little skinny here on this one and let everybody know kind of what they can find in your article over on VSiN.
Yeah, you mentioned it, Matt, in terms of the fact that this is an elevated event, obviously increased prize money, which means you get better players. I believe you have 22 of the top 25 in the OWGR. I think 37 of the top 50, all 10 in the FedEx Cup standings last year in the top 10. All 11 players who have won on tour, starting with the wraparound season in the fall. So big time field here in Phoenix. you know, history goes way back. They hashtag it the People's Open, nicknamed the greatest show on grass. We know that this is a raucous atmosphere, particularly at the 16th. That's the par three that they nicknamed the Coliseum. You know, you get a lot of college students from ASU. You got a lot of people in town, of course, for the Super Bowl. So, you know, and it really is like Happy Gilmore comes to life. A lot of big names have won here. Arnold Palmer, Phil Mickelson, Jack Nicklaus, Johnny Miller, you know, kind of a who's who, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson. So this is a big time event. This is by far the best field of the year, at least to start the season.
As we take a look at the course itself, Wes, we got, you know, like I said, it's a seven par 71. So there's only three par fives on this thing, all three of them, 550 to 600. Water on six of the holes, Bermuda fairways. We do have some overseed there on the greens as well that are typically Bermuda, but do have a little bit overseeding on them. Pretty fair, you know, 7,000 square feet. So pretty decent size out of these things, but there is some quirkiness here, as you mentioned, about this course in general, which actually I really like. I know some people don't like TPC courses just in general, but the fact that this one does have 16, the fact that it's got that drivable par four that has a risk reward element to it and all that, like, I actually really do like this course.
I think it challenges like every part of your game too. That, I think that's what I like about it. It's not really, I don't think there's a huge advantage for any, you know, any particular skill set. I mean, we're going to obviously get into the stats that we're going to talk about, but it's, I mean, I think it's a challenge, you know, off the tee, on approach and on the greens. Right. So it's that's what I like about it. And obviously the ruckus atmosphere, like you guys are talking about, it's crazy out there all the time. And, you know, you're getting kind of a, you know, it's a desert course. It's not a desert course. It's a parks course. It's not a parks course. Right. Like, so it's always an interesting layout. And I mean, it's a great tournament to watch every year.
Yeah. And I think with this course, it's kind of like middle of the road in terms of difficulty by tour standards. It's not particularly hard, but it's not particularly easy. I think it was really right at the middle of the pack last year. So, you know, somewhere 15 to like 18 under, I don't think you're going to see in the 20 unders anymore ever since they renovated this thing back in 2014. Tom Weiskopf and Jay Morish, the original designers of this course, relatively narrow fairways, average in terms of green speed, about 12 on the stimp. Matt, you mentioned very large greens, some of the biggest greens on the tour, but there are some testers out here. The rough isn't necessarily penal, but the back nine, I think the front nine is kind of boilerplate. But if you look at the back nine, that's really the risk reward, especially that final four stretch of holes, starting with 15, that par five that has the island green, the Coliseum at 16, the par three, and then the drivable par four 17th. That's where Sahith Fagala lost the tournament last year, hit the water going for the green. And then the 18th, it's a dogleg to the left, but you got water down the entire left side. So you really do get risk reward, and that usually gives us exciting finishes here.
Yeah, that's kind of what makes this pretty awesome here. And so as your people are doing their handicapping, I mean, like we said, it doesn't play particularly hard. However, it was fifth out of 38 courses last season in penalty strokes per round. And it goes to what we're talking about, where it's just a risk reward type of course. Like, you can go after it, and if it works, then it's great. If you go after it and it does not, then it can go bad pretty quickly. So did rank way up there with that. The only thing I would also mention just here is the driving distance on this course on the par fours and the par fives was the longest on tour average last year. So this is a course, I don't think you necessarily need length, but yeah, you can take advantage of if there's a little bit of length there. Kelly, 22.7% of the strokes gained last year at this tournament came off the tee.
Yeah, looking through some of this, and Wes, I know you had some of these trends in your article as well at VSiN.com, but like 13 of the last 14 winners ranked inside top 55 in total driving. And like, not necessarily huge fairways either as far as width, right? So that's kind of, it's a little bit of accuracy, and then of course the distance helps, right? So off the tee play here is extremely important this week.
Guys, as always, you can get Wes's article, VSiN.com, the full breakdown over there. It is worth the price of admission, so be sure and head over there. And of course, we can get a little bit of help from you guys by subscribe, rate, review this here podcast. It will help us climb up those charts. And again, just free for you to hit a pause real quick and go down there and hit that subscribe button. So do appreciate that. a ton if we could do it. Guys, if we look at the odds board here, it is absolutely no surprise over at DraftKings as we sit right now. I mean, look, it's Rory McIlroy, it's Jon Rahm. Yeah, it's Rory McIlroy and Jon Rahm, and you know, they're sitting there 850 and 750 right now. And I get it. These guys are playing out of their minds, and so it makes perfect sense. Xander at 12, Scotty at 12. Colin Morikawa is down to 16 now. So, Wes, just since you and I were talking about him yesterday on the little mini pod, it seems like a flood of money has come in on Colin Morikawa. So people must have been seeing some of the same stuff that you and I saw. Finau at 18, Cantlay at 18. And now, guys, this is where a field as stacked as this really starts to kind of separate itself, right? Because we're talking like a major caliber field. Justin Thomas, 22. Max Homa, 25. Sung Jae, 25. Cam Young, 28. Tom Kim, 28. Victor Hovland, 35. Fitzpatrick, 35. Hideki, 35. Sam Burns, 45. It goes on and on. Spieth at 45. So you are, what you're really seeing here, Wes, is like, with it being so incredibly deep, and yes, it's short numbers on Rahm and short numbers on McIlroy, and that is probably right when it comes down to it with the way that they're playing, but you're getting some fat numbers on some names that you just don't ever see numbers that big next to their names.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you really look down the official world golf ranking, especially, I know maybe some guys aren't in as good a form as others, mm-hmm. but you've got top 20 players that are, you know, in the 30s and then the 40 range, you know, guys in the top 25 in the world, especially some of the international guys like Tyrrell Hatton, I was seeing at 60-1, Tommy Fleetwood, even higher at 80-1. These are guys that not in the best form, but they're still top 25 in the world golf rankings. And you just don't see that unless that's maybe in like a major championship or a players championship type of event.
Kelly, we're looking here, a guy like Sahith Theegala, like we mentioned, who was right in contention last year. He's at 55 right now, a guy that we, you know, you and I have bet on multiple occasions. It depends on the course and all that, but like, you know, a pretty consistent performer in Corey Connors is out at 60, you know, Keith Mitchell coming off a pretty good week at 65, Jason Day coming off of a good tournament a couple of weeks ago at 65. So there are some big numbers to be had on some of these guys that I think that I don't think the win equity is zero. Like, I actually think there's at least a little bit of win equity of some of these guys that have bigger numbers by their name.
There is. There's definitely one guy that you just rattled off that I have a bet on. We'll get to later in the show. But the one I want to flip around and ask you guys, though, because this is the range I struggled with, I think, the most when, you know, really deciding what to bet, really. Because, I mean, this is so, this field is so stacked. I mean, I think you can make a case for so many guys here. And the numbers, the betting numbers then matter a lot. The range that I struggled with is all those guys in the teens, right? Right? Like you guys are just mentioning, there's so much quality once you get into the 20s and stuff. And then obviously we know what Rahm and Rory have been doing over the past couple months, that it was... Those guys that are right there in the teens are really quality players, but I was struggling with what to do with them. I don't know if you guys have any quick thoughts on that. I know we're going to get to bets later in the show, but that was really the range I was kind of struggling the most on what to do with, just because, you know, you can think about a guy like, you know, it's like, let's take, you know, Shoffley all the way down to 12-1 at this point. You know, you could double that and you could find numbers for Justin Thomas, you know, at double his price, right? Or you can go a little bit shorter than that and play a guy like Rahm or Rory that you're probably feeling a little bit more secure with at this point. So I don't know what you guys thought about that, but I struggled with that range this week.
My range where I struggled is probably 20s to 30s, and that's where I think the bulk of my card is going to end up being. If you look at the recent history, ever since, you know, they've made the renovations to the course, you used to get a few long shots in here, like Kevin Stadler was 125-1 in 2014, Kyle Stanley 66-1 in 2012, Mark Wilson 80-1 in 2011, Hunter Mahan 66-1 in 2010. But if you look, starting in 2015, when Brooks Koepka first won at 40-1, you go 40-1, 25-1, 11-1, 50-1, 22, 14, 50 for Koepka. That's when Koepka was injured, but obviously this being a flat course, it was much easier for him to walk, not being all that hilly. Scotty Scheffler 25-1 last year. So you haven't gotten like really short chalk, but you've gotten mostly shorter prices, because if you go back to 2015, Koepka, Matsuyama, Woodland, Fowler, Simpson, Koepka, Scheffler, everybody a major winner except for Ricky Fowler, but these are all class players, or were certainly class players at the time that they won these events.
Yeah, it is absolutely amazing. I cannot wait for this tournament. It is going to be absolutely fantastic. So let's go ahead and get into the stats that matter to us. Kelly, I'll let you kick things off here. As you were doing your research, where did you land as you started to build your model?
Well, I'm sure we all picked up on this, but just catching one of the tweets from Justin Ray of, you know, ball striking just mattering here more last year than in any other course on tour. So, I mean, yeah, that was, you know, really, really where I started. Did a little bit of strokes gained ball striking, but I actually like to break that up separately into kind of driving statistics and then more approach stuff too. So I did a little bit of driving distance, not a ton, but then heavy strokes gained off the tee, strokes gained approach, and then played par fours, 450 to 500 and 400 to 450. That makes up, I believe, 10 of the 11 par fours besides the one drivable one. Par fives, 550 to 600. That takes care of all three of your par fives. And then I looked at just opportunities gain, and then took a little bit of eagles percentage and around the green percentage. I mean, I don't want guys around the green too much struggling to make these greens that are rather big. But I think the one we've seen in recent years that those, if you do end up off the green, it's usually not in a terrible, terrible spot to get back on there and possibly make par, but you got to have the game to do it for sure. So that was something I did factor in more than I had in years past. That's for sure.
Well, I was going to chime in there. I was like, hey, Kelly, wrong pod. When you were talking about, you took a little bit of the eagles. Like, I was like, dude, wrong pod here. This is like, I know, like, it's like two different seasons colliding.
Eagles games.
Two different pods here, buddy. But Wes, where did you come in on yours whenever you were making your model?
Yeah, a little bit of overlap here. I think you could certainly do strokes gained ball striking, which combines OTT and obviously approach. Total driving, which I don't necessarily do a lot. Total driving, by the way, is driving distance plus driving accuracy rank. So that's where you get those numbers. So like when you see Keith Mitchell, 29, that means 24th ranked in driving distance, 5th in accuracy. So you add those together. I did a little bit, and then I separated them too, just for like context for the piece that's up at VSiN.com. I did a little birdie or better here, because when we talk about the greens, because these are normally Bermuda, but they're overseeded with POA and, you know, a little bit of rye in the fairways, but you know, POA and rye overseeded on the greens as well. These greens are a lot more pure. They're not as bumpier as like the traditional POA that you might see at like a Torrey Pines or even a little bit of Pebble Beach some years. So I did use birdie or better gained here because I think you're going to, you know, it's a little bit of an overlap, I guess, with opportunities gain, but I used that. I also used a little bit of bogey avoidance because the tough holes here on this course are the par four, especially those longer par fours on the back nine. And because the greens are so large, you can make bogeys here and you can three putt. So I understand if you use maybe three putt avoidance as well, because these are 7,100 yard square feet on average green. So avoiding bogeys. I also did a little bit of scrambling gained. I think when you look at putting, this never really turns into a putting contest per se, because I went over the last 7 years and the winners averaged, I think, like 18th. For strokes gained putting for all the guys that won this thing. But you do get some tricky short grass kind of around the greens. You get the collection areas where it's funnel, you know, some bad iron shots down there. So you got to scramble. I think it was like 10th toughest last year on tour. So I use a little scrambling gain. The par 450 to 500, 5 of the 11 measure in that range. Same thing with the par fives, all three just a little bit above 550. So that's what I use this week.
Yeah, I am. I'm with you on a lot of those. It seems like we kind of had a like mindset here. I, though, went very heavy off the tee strokes gained here because, again, it seems like the trend over the last 3 years here at this tournament was guys that really excelled off the tee were really where this kind of separated themselves. And so I went pretty heavy off the tee. I went approach and I didn't do any proximity stuff because mainly like, because there's two ways to skin a cat here, right? Like you can be long and have a shorter iron in, but like we've seen guys that aren't as long have success as well, and they'll have a little bit longer. So I didn't want to like basically overthink separate it. Some guys. Yeah. I didn't want some guys like I didn't want to separate the thought here with the two different ways to kind of attack this course. So I just didn't put any sort of like proximity stuff in there really at all. Good drives. I did pretty heavily as well, because the thing is, like we mentioned, while the rough isn't all that penal, if you get off into the crap, like then you just get penalty strokes. And like, so I just didn't want guys that are going to be spraying it really all over the place. But then I did the same thing as you, Wes. I have birdie or better. I also have opportunities in there as well, because I do think, you know, take advantage of the scoring and needing to score when you can. And of course the opportunities means that you put it within 15 feet. So that at least gives me a chance to get a birdie with you. I also did bogey avoidance and some scrambling, and I just did a very, very small amount of driving distance, mainly as a tiebreaker in case there was anybody that I was kind of trying to decide between. Maybe that could be something that could lean me in that direction a little bit easier. But that's really all I did this week. I was pretty basic with the model with all of that, and so I'm I actually feel pretty confident. I like the results that I got and that they got spit out here, so we will certainly take a look at those here momentarily.
It's also tough to kind of do putting here, because I mentioned, you know, these greens are a little bit more pure. And if you look at some of the recent winners, you've got some shaky putters, Hideki Matsuyama, Kyle Stanley, Kevin Stadler. So you don't exactly have to be like, you know, Denny McCarthy here in terms of putter quality to win this type of thing.
Yeah, a buddy of mine is down there right now, and he was talking to one of the guys who was working at the course, and basically they said that the overseed that they have on the greens right now actually makes them even easier to putt on. Like, so like it should be pretty pure, like as far as putting goes down there this week. And so that even backs up even further what you said, Wes, where I don't need a putting specialist here in this one, so I didn't even weigh that really at all.
Now, did he talk to the grass? Like, you always want the people to talk to the horses.
He didn't, and he didn't taste it either. I did ask that.
He didn't taste the grass? Like, yeah, how are we supposed to know that?
I know. I was like, hey, listen, did you less miles the grass? And like, let us know like what it actually tastes like. He said, no, I did not less miles the grass. He just looked, talked to a guy about the grass.
But
he
didn't useless talk to the grass.
Yeah, I know. Next time he needs to talk to the grass, I'll be sure and let him. I'll talk to the grass. I'm going down there tomorrow.
There you go.
I'll go talk to the grass.
You whisper to it. Take a picture of it for us. Okay.
Yeah. I'll do that for sure. So some of the names, guys, for me, listen, long-term results. Look, it's the guys you would expect, you know, Finau, McIlroy, Shoffley, Scheffler, all that, Morikawa, if you look at that, all that type of stuff. If I go a little bit shorter and kind of get to the like 24 and 12, that's where there were at least a couple of other names that were fairly interesting to me that popped up from the stuff that I was looking at. If I go to that 24 round model, I do get Tom Kim way up there. Of course, Max Homa, as well as he's playing, is way up in the model as well. And then you get to a couple of guys that I have some placement market stuff on. I'll talk about a little bit later, like a Brendan Steele and all these. So there were some guys in the shorter term that I think maybe more recent results kind of have them climbing the charts a lot. But it was a lot of names that I thought were fairly expected. I'll put it that way. I had a thought in mind that was expected, and it kind of spit out what I expected. I guess the only thing was is when I shortened it down to 12 rounds, and so like that's like super recent form. Obviously, Ricky Fowler came in at 15th actually in my model, and probably would have been higher, but I have scrambling weighed in pretty heavily, and he's 99th in the field in scrambling. And so if he hadn't been that bad, he might have been in the top 10 in as far as the model goes. We know Ricky's had some success here, Wes, and we know that he has also kind of rejiggered his swing and all of that. And so that was at least an interesting name for me that popped up.
Yeah, he was a consideration for me. Maybe I'll have to wait live. He didn't end up making the card. But when you talk about off the tee, Matt, it's the usual suspects. It's Cam Young, it's Rory, a little bit of Keith Mitchell, Rahm, Brendan Steele, obviously is up there not only off the tee, but on approach in terms of statistics. So I understand, you know, if you're using him in placement markets, Hayden Buckley was another guy I saw in terms of for driving as well. And then I got to the approach guys, the usual guys, Tom Kim, Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, Tony Finau. So saw a little bit of that. So I didn't really get a lot of surprises, even though, you know, when I looked at scrambling over the last 36 rounds, because we often think of him as shaky, maybe not around the green, but on the green, Hideki Matsuyama second for scrambling gain, because I think people kind of look at his short game in general as a horror show, but I don't think that that's necessarily the case. And this really, I think, paired that out this week.
Kelly, I'm sure you have a bunch of the same names kind of at the top, but were there any names that as you were kind of digging through, it did kind of catch you off guard?
Well, you know, we could just rename this the Brandon Steele podcast. That's for sure. he popped as well. I mean, I think shorter range, you know, Wyndham Clark, JT Poston, those kind of names were popping. I'll go and Hayden Buckley to me as well there, Wes. I'll tell you the one I was a little surprised that I didn't see more of was Tom Kim up there for me. Mm-hmm. He really wasn't a guy that really spiked on my stuff as much. Wes, we just talked this morning on a numbers game, and I was like, well, I saw a 2 next to Justin Thomas and a 3 next to Tom Kim, and I thought those were going to be good enough already to just get in the account. Digging a little bit more, ended up laying off and was surprised he didn't spike more. But, yeah, man, it is obviously Rory's, you know, with some of the stuff that we're looking at, Rory's, you got to take into account these go back to the last time he's really played on the PGA Tour for most of the stuff we're usually looking at. So right. That goes back to October. But, you know, it's painted 1-2 Rory, Tony Finau on my last 12, 24, 36.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's absolutely wild. And we will talk about our bets here in a second. But first, as we do each and every week, we're going to give it up for 3 minutes for our man, Wes Reynolds, as we go around the world with Wes Reynolds.
Yeah, just one event this week. Last week, of course, we had the Asian Tour event in Saudi Arabia, and then we had a European event to close out in the Emirates. Just one event. I'm not doing the Oman series that I know a few of the LIV guys are playing in for the Asian Tour. So just the Singapore Classic. Last week, this was the craziest finish, though. You had a guy actually win the tournament that hit 2 balls into the water on the par 5 18th and had to hole out from 25 feet for double bogey, and that was Daniel Gavens from England. So he wins the Ras Al Khaimah Championship. Holing out for 25 feet for double bogey to win the tournament. But looked at the field this week. It's the Singapore Classic. This is the first time they've been in Singapore since 2014. This is a first-time event, so you looked a lot of the usual mainstays that you see in the field: Robert McIntyre, Jordan Smith, Ryan Fox, Alexander Bjork. By the way, last week's runner up was 25-1. He actually would have made the playoff had he not bogeyed the par 5 18th in the group in front of Gavin. So, you know, he might be kicking himself. So I saw some people tip him this week, but no thanks after he probably felt like he let one get away. Laguna National Resort in Singapore, what is called the Classic Course. It's nicknamed the Beast by the locals there in Singapore. Par 72, 74, 20. So a lot of rain over there. It was monsoon season, so the rough is thick and fast. You have several different water hazards on this course. You actually have an island green at 17, very reminiscent to TPC Sawgrass, even though it's about 50 yards longer. So I didn't go all that deep. Obviously, we have a big tournament in Phoenix, and of course, it being Super Bowl week, I didn't go maybe as much time as I usually would on the DP World Tour. But sometimes when that happens, and that especially happened last fall, where I kind of didn't have time, but I just threw a few darts and they ended up winning. So maybe that'll be a good sign for this week. Adrian Otegi, 27-1, who I was actually on last fall at Valderrama, made all 3 cuts through the Emirates, even though he never really contended. This is a lower graded field, 5th for strokes gained around the green. He's like several other guys where he's not all that far outside the top 50. I think he's in like 74th right now, but you win an event and all of a sudden you're knocking on the door to get in the top 50, and obviously the lure of a Masters invitation. By the end of March, beginning of April, you got to be in that top 50 to get in the Masters. So Adrian Otegi, 27-1, another Spaniard, Adri Arnaus, who he hit last year at Catalunya, was 13th 2 weeks ago in Dubai, was 2nd that week for strokes gained putting. Last week was 6th in Ras Al Khaimah. and seventh on approach, 18th off the tee. Johannes Veerman, 33-1, who's actually an American, but his mother is from Thailand. So he lived a lot in Asia when he was young, lived in the Philippines, lived in Thailand, China, Indonesia, began on the Asian Development Tour, played his college golf, came back to America to play at Texas A&M, T8th at Dubai, T19 at Ras Al Khaimah, plenty of experience playing in Asia. And then Julien Brune, 50-1, a Frenchman. He's got two top fives in his last five starts. So I didn't overanalyze it. I went just four deep here in this event.
Guys, when we come back, we are going to talk just about the top of the leaderboard here. If there's anybody we're going to try and maybe get in on in-game, what is the strategy for these guys that are absolute world beaters? And we'll also get to our outright bets, head-to-head matchup bets, and, of course, our placement market and our one-and-done pick of the week. Coming right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Hey, we're back here on VSiN's Long Shots, Matt, Wes, and Kelly. Guys, I do want to ask you a couple of questions before we get into just the cards here. And first and foremost, this is, you know, the first big elevated event, right? And so I was wondering, Kelly, like, you know, did that come into your handicapping at all? Like, I mean, did that, like, did you play into the fact that this is, you know, over 3 million up top for this? What type of player is okay with that? I know me and Wes even talked a little bit yesterday about what type of player can kind of handle this atmosphere as well. And, you know, I mean, are there guys that are going to be annoyed by the fact that people are going to be throwing beers onto the course? Or are there guys that are going to be, you know, living it up that that's the case? And so I wonder if any of that all kind of played into your handicap at all.
Yeah, it did a little bit. I don't know if it really affected bets a lot, I would say. But look, I think it's absolutely something you need to keep in mind. I don't know about you guys, and maybe we're just too close to the sun on this, but this has a major type feel kind of heading into it. I mean, you've got an incredible field, you know, playing in this event. I think that, and then, you know, the atmosphere that always takes place at this event, which is very not like a major. You know, this isn't like at the Masters of, you know, people yelling and hollering and chugging beers and throwing beers and whatever. I think this is going to be a little bit more of a mental test. And probably one of the bigger mental tests that these guys are going to face all year. So, definitely when I was filling out my betting card, I had that in my back of my mind as far as, guys with, you know, with some wins under their belt, guys with experience at this course for sure is something that I factored in pretty heavily this week. Matt, I think it's absolutely a great thing to bring up. I think this event has been growing over the past several years, but now it's at a level that we've never seen it before, and you've got this type of field playing in it. Yeah, I think it is going to be a kind of a different atmosphere for these guys.
Wes, I want to ask you, if somebody comes to you and they say, Wes Reynolds, Mr. Reynolds of two outrights last week. So I know that you are all wise and you will give me in the best information here. I want to play John Rahm. I want to play Roy McIlroy or Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele. And so, you know, that's not really our style all that much to play a 7.5 or an 8.5 or a couple, even 12s really, when it comes to that. What would your advice be for these guys at the top of the board for somebody who really wants some sort of something on one of these favorites? And listen, I would think it's almost naive of me to say that one of those four guys isn't going to be in the mix come Sunday, right? I mean, like, you know, it's just like they're one of those four guys is likely to be in the mix come Sunday. And so I couldn't get there, but what would you tell someone? How do they get exposure to these guys?
Yeah, if you don't want to necessarily do an outright either, I think one of the ways that you could do it is I think DraftKings has put those up this week where they have groups, and usually they have a lot of these guys in the same groups where it's like, okay, maybe they could beat the elite guys in this group, but they only have to beat that group. I mean, sometimes they'll do that for like NASCAR races where they have kind of like the A drivers. Well, they'll have like the A golfers. So you'll have Rahm and Rory and those guys. So, you know, placement markets, I think is a very good idea in terms of that, just to kind of narrow it down a little bit, because you can make a case really for every guy here, because John Rahm, we know, lives in Scottsdale. I think he's never finished worse than 16th in this event. Rory only has one time at this event. I think he was 13th 2 years ago, if my graphic is correct. But yeah, I mean, that's what I would say to them, is try to do like, you know, a group market, or maybe, you know, do a placement market or something like that, or even do the matchups. Like, you've even got some big, you know, some decent sized underdogs. Like, if you want to play against Rahm, when do you ever get Rory McIlroy like plus 135 in a matchup? When do you ever get Scottie Scheffler plus 150 in a matchup? Very rarely.
And Kelly, I think another thing for us to be able to point out to everybody, because most of the people listening to this have access to this stuff that we don't have access to, or you just fade all four of those guys in general and you can bet the winner without market. And like, that is also available. And like, it takes Rory and Rahm and Scheffler and Xander out of the equation. And like, look, I understand the number isn't as juicy on these dudes without those guys, but man, the win equity for Rory and Rahm and Scheffler and Schauffele is so high that I am tempted when I get down there to play some of these winner without markets, because it's just knowing that I can just remove those guys from the equation who are almost like cheat codes at this point when it comes to golf. Let's not forget, I know it seems like, I mean, Scotty hadn't won in a while, but like, the guy is still playing as good as ever right now. It's just like, he's just as likely to defend his title here. I mean, like, I think that that's at least something people could take into consideration this week.
Yeah, I've played those a few times. We have one shop here in town. Boyd usually offers those, or I shouldn't say usually, occasionally they offer those. I have played those a couple times. I think it's a good way to attack it. And yeah, I think this might be a good week to do that. I mean, we're focusing on one of these guys kind of at the top, Rahm or Rory, but we got both of them. And I think absolutely Schauffele and Scheffler belong up there. I think when it gets down to that, it all comes back around to price shopping, right? And that it's compare the books that you have, compare the numbers that you might see for winner without to books that have all these guys listed, and see if you can find a little bit of an edge. Like, you know, I'm just looking at DraftKings right now. I'd probably play Justin Thomas at 14-1. I'd probably rather play him at 14-1 than 22-1. Removing Rory, Rahm, Scheffler, and Schauffele, because I do think those four guys are really high up there. And the other one, Wes, is, I think it's a great point on the groups. That's something I never play, but I think that is something that if with a week like this, if you think there's one of those guys that stands out, I think that's a great way to bet. You got in a group, they have a DraftKings, Rahm plus 240, Rory plus 280, Xander plus 350, Scheffler plus 350, Homa 4-1.
Well, I got to give a hat tip actually to our Gone Racing crew, who does obviously our NASCAR show and podcast here on VSiN, because that's a lot of how they play. Is they play, you know, different groups. You got your A drivers and your B drivers, your C's and your D's, you know, the guys that are maybe with some of the smaller teams. And that's a way to kind of do it, because it's hard to bet outrights, and especially at like certain tracks where the guys are like 4-1 to win. It's like, okay, what's the point of doing that? I would rather, you know, take my chance to beat four other guys at +250 or +275 than to bet 4-1 to win a race.
Yep.
All right, fellas, let's get to it. This is what everybody is tuning in for. They want to know, where is our hard-earned money going this week? And we're going to give the honors to the man that took down two last week. Yeah. Wes, kick things off here with your outright plays.
Yeah, relatively chalky in terms of probably most of my board. The majority of the board is 30-1 or less. Colin Morikawa, who Matt, we talked about yesterday, and I did bet at 25-1, but had to give out at 18-1 this morning in the column at VSiN.com. They really disappeared. Second and third to start the year. We mentioned that this is not a putting contest necessarily, but I think Colin Morikawa's improvements in his putting are very much, you know, palpable if you want to look at it. The new coach, Stephen Sweeney, he's gained 7.1 strokes combined with the putter in his first two events. And if he's hitting the irons like he usually hits the irons, you know, I think he could go well. Even at 18-1, he is still a bigger price here at TPC Scottsdale in a course that better suits him than he was at Torrey Pines, which is 7,700 yards. And he's not the biggest, you know, bomber off the tee. And this is still a better course for him, even though he doesn't have a lot of history here. Las Vegas resident, obviously, so well adept at desert golf. So I played him at 18. Tony Finau, this is an interesting one at 20-1 because he lives up the road from Scottsdale. He has the unfinished business. I was on him when he lost out to Webb Simpson in the 2020 playoff. But if you look at it, he has five missed cuts and seven appearances here. The form sheet, if you're looking at that, it's like, how the hell do I play this guy? But I think he's a different player now. He's the, you know, playing the best golf, I think, of his career. He's got three victories in the last 11 stroke play events. None of them have actually come on the West Coast, where he's always so good. He's contended at PGA West. He's been second twice at Riviera for the Genesis, which we will have, of course, next week. Second at Silverado. Second at Torrey Pines 2 years ago, and a couple sixes there as well. So Tony Finau, this could be boom or bust, but I ended up including him at 20-1. A couple guys at 29 or around 30, depending on your store. Cameron Young, who was the runner up last weekend in Saudi Arabia to Abraham Answer, who got home for us at 30-1. I worry a little bit about the travel. So if you don't want to play him early, maybe wait till the second round to get him live, because maybe that jet lag kind of happens. But I think he's motivated to get that first PGA Tour win. I also noticed when the pairings got released, as we record this Tuesday afternoon, very early afternoon, the pairings got released. And he was put into a non-featured pairing with Martin Laird and Richie Wierenski. Keep in mind, Cameron Young is the number 16 player in the world in the OWGR. Now, is he being a little bit punished by the tour for going over and taking that check in Saudi Arabia? I don't know. I don't know if what's to the rumors that he may go to live, but I do know he's number one in the field for stroke gained off the tee, four for birdie or better gain. I didn't get the opener as high as I think it was 45 at DraftKings, which obviously we can't bet at for the weekend, but you know, anything around 30, I still think is worth it. So Young, 29-1. Sungjae Im, same price, fourth last.
The spite angle. We're going with the spite angle here, Wes.
He might be a little ticked off. He might be.
Who knows?
Yeah. You would think he'd be paired with like Justin Thomas or Max Homer or somebody like that, but he was not. Sungjae Im, 29-1, fourth last time out at the Farmers 2 weeks ago, gained seven shots on approach that week, which was only behind Max Homa, who ended up winning the Farmers, of course, at Torrey Pines. He's won at TPC Summerlin. That's a kind of a similar course here, West Coast desert track, seventh here on debut in 2019. His mate from South Korea, Tom Kim, 30-1, and this is something Kelly, Matt, and I talked about yesterday. Some guys don't like this raucous atmosphere, but I think Tom Kim is going to like it. If you watched him at the President's Cup last fall, he's egging the crowd on. He was doing it a couple weeks ago at the American Express at Palm Springs, too, putting the hand up to the air like, hey, give me a little chatter. I just made a nice birdie here. But he's a guy that likes desert golf, seemingly a very short sample size, but he did win the Shriners at TPC Summerlin last fall, 3 weeks ago at the Amex in Palm Springs. And he kind of reminds me, I got to give credit to my friend Josh Perry, who's also a very good golf handicapper. He's kind of like the South Korean Webb Simpson. he tends to do well on courses Webb Simpson does well. Obviously won the Wyndham there last year. Harbor Town, you know, different desert courses.
Great putters. Yep.
Yes, absolutely. So Tom Kim at 30-1. And then three kind of mid-range to longer guys. I don't think you could go that far down the board. You know, I found it hard to find triple-digit guys, but I went with Taylor Montgomery at 66, who doesn't have a lot of experience here, but rookie season on the PGA Tour, 8 finishes of 15th or better in 10 events, 2 T10s, 2 or 4 top 10s, 2 top 5s from Vegas. So he plays a lot of desert golf. I think you're getting him at twice the price you were willing to maybe bet him at San Diego a couple weeks ago. Yeah, you got to take into account the quality of the field, but still, I thought 66 was fair. Keith Mitchell at 75, top 10 here last year, was in the mix at Pebble before he finished fourth, number one in the field for total driving. And then one guy that did not appear on any of my modeled statistics, but I'm going to go with recent form, and it's kind of choppy form because there's been a lot of breaks in between. Alex Noren, who I found at 78-1 at Circa Sports, stateside debut where he finished sixth here last year in Phoenix. 3 top 5 finishes in his last 3 worldwide events. Now you got to go all the way to like early November. T4 in Houston, was T2 at the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai, and then was T5 in Abu Dhabi. And maybe he sees what Justin Rose did last week, because Noren is now a 40-year-old guy trying to make that Ryder Cup team for Europe. Didn't go with LIV Golf like Justin Rose did not, trying to grind it out. So Alex Noren at 78, and then the 3 matchups went 3-0 last week. Noren minus 135 over Power. Adam Hadwin, who's got a pretty good history in desert golf, minus 125 over Taylor Pendriff. Keith Mitchell minus 135 over Tom Hoagie.
Kelly Bidlin, your outrights this week, sir.
Yeah, I'm just interested. Wes, definitely with the stones on Cameron Young and Keith Mitchell, because they were two guys that were up there for me too. And I was, you know, this field's so great. It's almost like looking for excuses to cross guys off. And I was like using those. I'm like, well, he was playing in Pebble on Monday. Yeah, I'm just going to cross him off. Maybe I'll add him in some finishing position markets. But interesting to hear your take on those guys. Outrights for me. All right, how about this tease at the top? I haven't made up my mind yet, but I'm either playing Xander or Finau or neither and looking live, because I love both of them here, and I can't get myself. This is one look, you know, 12-1. If you were just dealing with DraftKings, I wouldn't bet any of these pre-tournament. 12-1 on Xander, 18-1 on Tony Finau. I'd wait. You know, we talk about this, but outrights here in Vegas, where he actually is one of our few luxuries we can shop around, usually find some better numbers. Saw a couple 16s in town on Xander. It's getting to a point where it's worth firing to me. So I might end up pulling the trigger on that or Finau before this tees off on Thursday. I love both those guys. I know you got to play on them already, Wes. Love. I did everything you did. Finau seems like a perfect fit here. Obviously, recent form is great. And then you look at those results and you're like, what the hell am I supposed to make of this? I don't know what I'm supposed to make of this. So I don't know. I haven't bet them yet. Might add them. The guys I did bet already, Justin Thomas, 25-1, I found here in town. I can't pass up Justin Thomas on 25-1. He might not be spiking in all the models, but I do think this is a tournament where the history here matters a little bit more than a lot. And we're talking about number one when it comes to strokes gained over the past 5 years. T8 last year, T13 the year before that, T3 the year before that, solo third the year before that. This guy does it year in and year out here. So 25-1 on a world-class player like Justin Thomas. He might not have the best results here recently, but, man, that's a big number on a guy that I think he could be in that range of the teens with some of those other guys. Sungjae, I'm right there with you. You know, Sungjae at this point, you owe me a couple wins, I feel like. But, yeah, I'm right there with you. He's spiking in all the models. Good tournament history here as well. Here's one guy. I'm not scared, man. At this point, Matt, I think you've made more money off this guy than probably anybody here. But Max Homa, man, I'm going right back to it. I don't care that he just won that last time around. You're hanging a 28-1, 28-1 I found here in town. But a 28-1 on this kind of guy that has become a world-class player at this point. I think anybody who's thinking elsewise is just delusional. And he's spiking in all the models. Another guy who's done well here at this tournament in the past. You know, he was T14
can handle the atmosphere. He's like one of the coolest guys on tour.
Exactly. So like that's the stuff. I threw that out the window. I know a lot of people don't like to bet like after a guy just won, but I don't think this is going to be a problem for Max Homa. I think the fact that he just had a kid probably helps too. I know that's something you always bring up a lot, Wes, but I think you're balancing those maturity levels down, right? Like you can handle
nappy
a partner.
Factor.
Exactly.
Yeah, nappy factor. Just all these guys that got married too in like right. November, like Gawa and Marikawa certainly fits that as well.
Totally. And so I think it's a little bit of maturity added with, hey, this guy's fun. He knows how to handle that kind of atmosphere. So I like Homa this week. I'm in on him. And then one guy you mentioned off the top, Matt, I've already got a Masters bet on this guy. So hopefully he really starts to round into form. Corey Connors is my one long shot this week. 77-1 I was able to find here in town. I think he is 60-ish to 1 I saw earlier. 60-1, yeah, at DraftKings. That's my longest shot of the week, but do like him, him and his numbers. He was popping on my models, 12th in my last 36 model. Look, he played the two Hawaii events, finished 12th and 18th there, and has some decent results on this course in years past. So those are all my outrights. I like all of them. Honestly, there wasn't too much confusion for me, I guess, with deciding who to bet this week. I thought it, like you teased at the beginning, Matt, it was a little bit more simple than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, we have some mix of the same guys. I'm on Morikawa for all the reasons that Wes mentioned. Look, he's at the top of every single one of every version of every model that I ran, of everything, the weighted model I run, all of that stuff. And like, listen, if I could be on the good side of one of his putting tournaments, we're gonna win. Like, you know, it's just like if he's not losing three strokes and he's gaining three strokes, then we're probably gonna win. So like, I will take him at that number.
He's
every
obviously
single
winning
time
this week now. Like, I'm not on him. You two are on him. He's obviously winning this week.
But
that's how I feel about Thomas, though, not being on him. Because last time he went to this price, remember when he won the Players a couple years ago, where it was like, okay, when he's into the 20 range,
yeah,
I have to bet him. There are certain players, like Dustin Johnson used to be that for me when he would get to the 20. I think he was like 25 when he won the Travelers a couple years ago. I was like, those type of elite players should never be those prices anywhere.
Yep.
And Kelly, same thing you said. I'm back on Homa again this week. Like, it is for every, listen, if you can play, you can play, you can play. And the thought that because he won and then took a week off, look, the guy's just good. Like, it's all there is to it.
Just
the guy
good.
Is just
yeah.
good. And this course fits him, right? I mean, he's not the longest of the guys. And he doesn't have to be on a course like this. And so, Homa, I think we're going to look back maybe at the end of this year. This could be kind of the coming out party for him. And like the fact that we get him at 28-1 is we're going to be laughing about it. And so I like him here at 28-1. I also took Tom Kim, all the stuff that Wes already mentioned. We talked about a little bit yesterday on the podcast as well. Now, this is where I am on a loan. I go out on an island here. Kelly's going to giggle, but man, I'm on Sam Burns this week, and it's like you look here. Look, here's the thing. Very rarely with a guy who has win equity as high as Sam Burns, can I get it 45-1, right? Yeah. I mean, like, you just don't get that very often with a guy that is a proven winner. And then on top of that, listen, it's not a lot. Certainly, if you look at short-term numbers, they're not going to, like, jump off the page at you. But at the American Express, he did T11. You know, he had two different rounds of 64. There were a couple of rounds, it was a round of 70, a round of 68. But, I mean, a couple of different rounds, 64. Like, the guy can score. Like, when he's on, the dude can absolutely score. And if he's not spraying his driver all over the place, I think he could contend here. And so, at 45-1, that is more of a, that number play, like y'all are talking about with JT, it's kind of like the same deal with Sam for me, right? That number to me is just too long for a guy that has won multiple times on tour and proven he can get it done. JT Poston for me at 110-1.
Yeah.
Hey, you rest of country people, by the way, DraftKings has him at 130-1. And that is by far the most off market number there is for JT Poston on this tournament. He is getting bet like hell here in Vegas, just to let you know. And there's probably some pretty good golf bettors here in Las Vegas. And so 130-1 out at DraftKings, that you can get a much, much better number than you can get anywhere here on him. Dude was just, from the recent form stuff, like, not, if you look at the long form stuff, not so much, But if like all the recent four models I ran, he is just up there in top at 7, 8, 9, something like that.
There's another Wyndham connection there too, because he won the Wyndham just like Webb Simpson did. So I've seen a lot of people that have liked him, and I did strongly consider JT Poston. He's made all three cuts to start the year, made all four cuts here to these played at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. So yeah, look, this might be a guy to add in play, but this is a bomb that I think can get on the leaderboard.
Yeah, no outright bet for me there, Matt, but I did. My biggest bet of the tournament is JT Poston top 40. That's my favorite bet.
And this is more of like, I had to bet the outright just in case it gets home, but this is more of like a top 40 play for me too. But you guys mentioned him. I'm glad to hear that he was popping in your models as well. I took the 250-1 on Hayden Buckley. I think the win equity is very low. It's just the if the stars align, I want to have that 250-1. This is more of a top 40 play for me on Hayden Buckley in this one, but I did go ahead and just pull the trigger on the 250. I have a top 20 on Sungjae. I have a top 40 on Brendan Steele. And then, of course, as always, with all of the outrights, I'm going to continue to say this each and every week, guys. Like, every outright I play, I will have some form or fashion of a placement market bet on that person, to where I do not go completely, you know, zero like we see so many different times. We don't have each way betting here, so it's kind of the only way I can get exposure to these guys, like not quite taking a tournament down. So I will have some sort of placement market bet on every one of those guys after that. Kelly, take us home with your one and done pick of the week.
One and done. I'll go Sungjae Im.
I like it. Wes, your one and done play of the week.
Oh man, this is a toughie actually. I have a feeling I may take Matt's here. I'm going with Colin Morikawa.
I have five entries. I will go ahead and say I have five entries. Colin Morikawa and Scottie Scheffler are going to be splitting those entries. Okay. I don't know who's getting the three and who's getting the two, but I want some sort of exposure to Scottie Scheffler. I can't do a 12-1. So I'll just take him in one and done, and that's, I'll at least have some sort of exposure to Scottie Scheffler in this tournament. I think the dude is like, he's right up there with everybody else. It's just, you know, all the Rory and Rahm have just won more recently, but I think Scheffler's right there with everybody. Guys, everything we do here, you can find over on VSiN.com. So please go in, subscribe, do all the different things like that to take in all the good work, not just on the golf stuff. Again, every single sport getting done over there at VSiN.com. Of course, you can also help us out by hitting that subscribe button on this podcast. Help us climb up the charts and get more people listening here to Long Shots. Hopefully we keep this streak going and make it 3 for 3 on outrights.
You know what would help is, let's see, we're about 36 hours out from the start of the tournament. Hey, Vegas books, how about you post some odds for us to bet? That'd be nice.
There's a little bit of that, and also honestly, I might have to be texting you guys on late Sunday so you can remind me who won the tournament on Sunday. with the day that I'm likely to have down there at the tournament on Sunday. So I might be asking you, hey, by the way, who won again? You know, whenever it's all said and done. So good luck on all your bets here at the Waste Management.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.